Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, even though no one will be behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 3 and Out Wednesday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Julia Ramsey with you. Full house as we get things going. Houston, how you doing, buddy? How you feeling?
Great.
Feel great. Great. Yeah?
Yes. Don't know why?
No?
But I feel great. That's how I feel good.
Okay.
But I feel great. It's the remix. It's the next song.
It's the next. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
Even better.
Davey, good morning.
I'm doing well. I think it's going
to
be a good
day. No one asked you anything.
I didn't ask you that question.
But he just said good morning. I was kidding, though. You're
I'm
doing
glad
well?
You're doing well.
I'm not listening, but I'm doing well.
That's it. Already.
That's why he's doing well.
It's already started. Well, Tennessee baseball, just another ho-hum. Midweek win last night.
Shut out.
Yep. Just getting stuff done.
Both teams had seven hits. Tennessee wins 5-0. I mean, that's just
baseball's
efficient.
A funny game. It's a funny game like that.
How are you this morning, Nate? Or did Houston already ask that? I don't think he would. That's why I'm going to go ahead and just ask you now.
I'm doing well, Davey. I appreciate it. 31-11 now. 31-11. Tony V. I'm actually pretty excited about this weekend series. At Arkansas, his old stomping ground.
And they are good.
They are. They lead the SEC West. It's 7:30 first pitch both Friday and Saturday night. And then Sunday, it starts at 5.
5 on Sunday?
5 on Sunday.
They got a bus back after that? Woof.
Probably fly. I don't know.
I don't know.
They bust, don't they?
I think they might. Yeah. I think they might.
I got to get myself out of football and basketball mindset here.
Yeah, this.
They need to ask Cody McClure the best coping mechanisms as you make that long journey.
Yes.
He would know.
From Fayetteville back to Knoxville.
We're a Major League Baseball team.
That's pretty tough. 5 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like perfect TV time.
You play 3 hours and then.
Not so
what
much.
Is it to Fayetteville? It's got to be like. Is it 9?
Ugh.
9 hours?
Oof.
So then you get back at 5 a.m.? Oh, go to class. Phew. Sorry, guys. That's the price you pay to win. And we can't get these guys more than 11.7 scholarships for a 25-man. Come on. Come on, NCAA. Listen to Tony V. Help these boys out. Support these programs.
I typed it in, and it gave me prices on flights. Like, that's how far it is.
Yeah.
It's 10.5 hours. Fayetteville's in the upper left corner of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that or remember that.
I think I've
said that before in my life,
so
but
when
I
you
remember it.
Like it. When the team plays at Arkansas, when, like, the football team plays, you fly in, and then you still have, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours on the bus.
Oh, really?
It's Arkansas. There's just not a lot of airports, especially not near Fayetteville. At least this was the case back when I was in college. It was awful. It was just a miserable drive. Then you get to Fayetteville, and it's like a kind of neat little town on a hill. That's it. Just described it.
All right.
I think there was one restaurant at the time. It's probably grown up since then. But the big news, other than, you know, Tennessee baseball just taking scalps out there, Rick Barnes with a rebuttal, with a not so fast, my friend.
This is brutal.
What are you looking at?
You get on I-40 and, like, you just don't get off forever. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Rick Barnes with a rebuttal.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it. What did
I thought you were going to say.
What did he say?
He said, I did not reach out to UCLA first. It was not me. Not a chance.
Said it was a lie. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, this is big because, you know, we do tend to think of Rick Barnes as a truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth guy.
Right.
Even when it hurts a little bit to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why we would get this far and now he would start to lie about who reached out to whom first. I said yesterday, if I'm UCLA, I'm absolutely saying he reached out to us. Like, oh yeah, we didn't vet the guy. He called. We started talking to him. We said, hey, we like you. This could work. This is great. Oh, $5 million? Sorry. That was how this went. We definitely didn't call him. We definitely didn't try to talk him out of us paying the buyout. We definitely didn't bump. I still don't understand. They were going to pay Cal $8 million a year? What's his buyout at Kentucky? So they were going to pay him $8 million, but they can't give Rick Barnes like $10 million in year one to pay the buyout and his year one salary? This just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I mean, I can see that. I mean, I mean, there's different price points for different people. This is like when Denver wanted a quarterback, and like there was one price for Brock Osweiler, and there was other prices for other people. Like, you'll break the bank for John Calipari if you're UCLA, right? But you'll only semi break the bank for Rick Barnes.
All right, but still, it just seems like if you get to that point, you really want. I mean, You're still not.
It's not your money.
You're still not breaking the bank for Rick Barnes. You're paying him 1 year of what you would have paid Calipari like every year. Then it goes back down to a normal salary. I don't know, but this doesn't seem like something Rick would lie about. At this point, right? I mean, he's told the truth about everything else, good, bad, ugly. Doesn't matter. The guy just tells the truth. So if he's saying UCLA reached out to him, I'm gonna stand by Rick Barnes.
My hunch is that there's a way both sides can spin it to where they think it's true. But this does help. I do like this. I do like Rick Barnes out and saying
they were connected via three-way call.
Barnes said he was contacted indirectly by someone representing UCLA April 2nd, then told AD Philip Fulmer on Friday when UCLA contacted Barnes. That's what was tweeted out. That's my point. Like, if he's contacted indirectly by someone representing UCLA, UCLA probably doesn't count that.
Correct.
That's why they said, yeah, Rick Barnes just called us. Like, well, after you basically you had one of your people tell one of the people that you knew would tell him that you would be interested. Isn't that how these things go anyway?
Yeah. It's muddy water.
So they're like, yeah, he called, but
it's like when you're in middle school.
No, they wanted to talk to him.
It's like when you're in middle school and it's like, I like her. Go see if she likes me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go see. Hey, she wants to know if you like her before she tells whether or not she likes you. Do I say I like her? I tell her I might like her if she likes me. Okay, she said she might.
Why are you whispering?
Because it's middle school. It's what you do. You whisper so you don't get in trouble.
Oh, okay.
At least that's what I did.
We're in class right now.
Didn't help. Yeah, you're in middle school. You only see people at school.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, you used to go out with people, but you were only
right
at school.
Yeah.
Going out.
You'd see them once a week. In the hallway.
More than that, typically.
No, nah, not if they were in different sections.
Anyway.
But that's what this is. And then, you said you liked me first. No. You said you liked me first. And then the whole song and dance, next thing you know, they break up. Because it's a middle school relationship, and it really never should have started in the first place. They really shouldn't be dating in middle school when you think about it. I would say sophomore year of high school, probably the earliest you could actually truly date someone. But even then, well, I mean, how many of those relationships outside of small towns end up being worth anything of consequence? I'd say very few.
I agree with one in Stripes yesterday who said this is when not having an agent makes things just tough. Someone representing UCLA indirectly contacts Barnes.
So UCLA has a secret agent who does not directly, I mean, it's it's, well, third, fourth party.
Yeah, their official person told someone, as the buffer person, the plausible deniability runner.
Who we will never know.
No.
I want
that's
that
like
job.
The bagman.
I want that job.
Yeah.
No one knows what I do. I go in and I make deals.
You're just walking around, looking around.
Walking around, talking around. What's Seinfeld? Isn't that what it is? We're just walking around.
Yeah. It's the difference between guys and girls.
That's what it was.
Yeah. He's doing kind of the reverse.
So we're back in on Rick. We're good now. Things are settled.
I mean, I don't know that we're necessarily.
I'm good. This closes the door for me. Dream job calls. You give it a shot. It doesn't end up being the dream job financially. You stay where you are. Not that big of a deal.
Can you have two true loves?
I think so.
Yes.
I love pizza.
All right.
I also love cookies. I love both. I could not pick one over the other. Time and place, circumstances would dictate. Do I want a cookie? Do I want pizza?
If I paid you $4.7 million, you'd probably eat the one I told you to eat, wouldn't you?
Damn right I would. With a smile on my face.
I think that's where we're at.
And I'd say, I am a cookie guy. CFL. Cookie for life. It'd be that simple. But if pizza wanted to pay me $5.5 million a year.
Right.
Buddy, watch me be pizza guy. That's PFL. Pizza for life. Absolutely. But then if dream job... steak and lobster every night for the rest of your life called, I'd probably entertain the phone call. Just saying.
Vol Regulator says, nothing but lies from UCLA and Barnes in this search.
No one's telling the truth. We don't know the truth. We can't handle the truth. You want me on that bench. You need me on that bench. I don't know. Like I said, I think I'm good. I think I'm over it. I'm not hurt anymore. The dream job called. First, according to Rick, who never lies, he entertained it. He had his financial guy that's not an agent at all handle the negotiations.
Who is that guy?
Don't know, but he bungled this one with not getting the buyout info. That's like the first thing, don't you think? Like, you're good with the buyout, right, before we even start these conversations? I feel like, should that not be, especially when they wouldn't pay Jamie Dixon's buyout? We already knew this. Don't you lead with, hey, his buyout's $5 million. You got that, right? No?
You think so.
What, can we negotiate? Okay, yeah. We'll negotiate a little bit. We'll give you a signing bonus. But I don't want it taxed, so how about you just pay that tax-free straight to Tennessee? Like, what? Is that a UCLA thing? We don't pay buyouts?
I heard that, yeah. We don't pay buyouts.
So that's just because it doesn't make sense that they would give Rick Barnes a $4 million signing bonus but not pay Tennessee just $4 million up front and have Rick front the other one.
Right.
So
we're UCLA. We don't pay buyouts.
That makes no sense in the entire world. Like, if you got a coach that you want, you should be proud. Right. Like, yeah, we will absolutely dump $10 million into your bank account to make sure we steal your coach and embarrass your program because we're UCLA. That's the way I would approach it. UCLA... not good. Now they got Mick Cronin, and I think I saw that Dave Portnoy, stool president, said this is the worst fit in the history of fits. I don't know anything about Mick Cronin other than he's put together a few good teams here and there at Cincinnati, but they got a coach. We'll see. Blake says, I wish he would have taken the UCLA job and we just go on from there. I don't. I did not want to be in a coaching search again.
Oh man, we'd had so How much many to talk
would that
about
be inside of the inside of a year.
Let's pretend we're doing the coaching search anyway.
No, right. No, let's not. We went down the list.
That's not good.
Do we have the $5 million in this scenario? We have it, right? So we can look at guys with around like a $10 million buyout. But all the good ones were 12 or more. We're not doing that. We're already paying way too many coaches.
It's true.
Butch Jones is intentionally not getting a coaching job so that he can just collect money from our coffers. Or maybe he just can't get one or the other. Either way, the guy makes $30,000 a year. So we front the other, was it $6 million for 3 years? What did we owe him?
I don't remember.
It was stupid. Stupid amount of money. He was making like $400,000 a month or something. It was crazy.
I want to say the settlement was like 5.7.
That's it? I thought it was way more than that.
I thought you said 6, and he said 5.7.
I thought it was. I thought it was like $6 million a year for 2 years or something.
No. Well, I know the buyout of Curry, Davenport, and Butch together was, I believe, 8.33 or 8.83 million total for all three.
Okay.
Well, the timeline's working out for your dream scenario, Houston. Rick Barnes stays, and the new LSU athletic director, Scott Woodward, is 100% supported or has 100% support behind recently reinstated basketball coach Will Wade. So we've got Will Wade stashed at LSU, just ready. But then Woodward also said he hasn't met with him yet. So I'm not sure what's going on.
For Butch alone, it was $8.26 million through 2021.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it would have been. I thought they reached a settlement, though.
If you have those numbers, I'd be open to hear them. I'm just reading what people reported. Mercy. It's a lot of money that we just burn, essentially.
Just light on fire.
But as you said, it's not my money.
No problem. Well, I mean, it's kind of not our money, but it's kind of all of our money. You know?
Well said.
It really... Deep thoughts from Three and Out.
What is money, really, though? When you think about it, what is it? It's just this made-up construct of human nature.
Hmm. Deep.
It's the root of all that is evil. Nothing bad happens. Love.
It's the love of money. It's the
right,
root of all
evil. Yeah. Love and money, you know. Two dangerous things. Those are really the two. Those are the two. Because love and hate, things happen. Indifference. Whew, now we can get deep if you want. The opposite of love is not hate, is it indifference?
I'm reading this this LSU Will Wade article, and it says their new AD, he hasn't even met with him yet. He just basically said, he's our coach right now, so I have 100% support of him.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't even matter. What?
People ran with that quote, like, oh, yeah, he supports Will Wade. Like, no, he said basically, yeah, he's our coach in this moment. And until he's not, he is. Thank you. Good day. But, yeah, Will Wade, next coach of Tennessee, I can foresee it. That's our guy.
That's our guy.
Fire up the hot board. Got it. Will Wade. Done. Short articles for everybody in the next coaching search. You know, we probably could have got him from UCLA had we gone into a coaching search.
You mean LSU?
That's what I meant. Yeah. No, I still got UCLA. L's right. And the U's and the things. So, yeah, I think we could have just plucked him
if
we wanted.
What if Fulmer, instead of renegotiating with Rick Barnes, was just negotiating with Will Wade?
You know, Will Wade has some ties. Just David Blackburn, you know who David Blackburn's friends with, like Phil Fulmer, they probably already have a pretty good profile on Will Wade.
Mm.
And we have the infrastructure in place that would allow Will Wade to do Will Wade things without being Will Wade on the phone himself.
Poor guy.
It happens to idiots. So he might be an idiot. But that's why he's at LSU. He's learning on the job there so that he knows the job here.
A lot of people.
All's well that ends well.
A lot of people have talked about Rob Lanier.
We've got, nah. Rick Barnes didn't even want to keep him around. Just said, go spread your wings and fly, Rob Lanier.
That's because he was going to UCLA.
I know.
Why, but why would
I'm
he
over that.
To
I'm not trying to talk. I'm not trying to talk about Rick Barnes.
Why wouldn't he try to recruit him to UCLA with him?
Maybe Rob Lanier's not a California man. Hmm. Maybe he would have had to take a pay cut. I don't know what the salary pool is at UCLA.
I don't. He was making pretty. They didn't talk about that. If they didn't talk about the buyout.
You probably have a framework. Surely you can't get that far down the line if you're Rick Barnes without knowing what your assistants would make. Also. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would say, yeah, I'm getting $5 million. Now that I'm here, what do my assistants get again?
Right.
They could really hamstring you on that.
True.
You'd have to ask that question. So maybe he knew with what money he would be making, not to mention the fact that taxes in the state of California, everybody would have to take a pay cut to go with him anyway. Hell, he was taking a pay cut unless it was $5.25 million, and I think they said it was only going to be five. So technically he's taking a pay cut. He probably didn't want all of his guys to have to take a pay cut, so he said, Rob Lanier, go be a head coach. Now he's had a huge pay increase, and he's staying at Tennessee. He's hired Kim English, and he's recruiting fairly well. Things are picking up. Water right. Under the bridge.
We can finally move on.
Under the bridge. Tennessee basketball.
Rick Barnes.
Back on track. Back on track. Like it never happened.
Mm.
Blip in the radar. Rear view mirror.
In or on the radar?
The sound would come from within the radar machine, but it would be also on the radar display.
Boop.
Is the blip the sound, or is it the little image that shows up
on
the circle?
I've always heard blip
thing?
On the radar.
Blip on the radar. Blip in
the, it's a blip on the radar.
I think blip on the radar probably is right.
There you go.
But it could be in it, because the radar is out there, and it is in the radar. Science. So we've done radar.
Yeah.
Middle school dating.
Yeah.
Buyout money.
Right.
Oh, love in general and indifference. Mm-hmm. You don't get this on any other show, folks.
We come
you just
back.
Don't.
Lots to get into today. The NFL draft is right around the corner starting tomorrow from Nashville, Tennessee. Stick with us as we go through this Wednesday edition of Three and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. NFL draft's tomorrow. I feel like we haven't. It's been a weird year. We had so much basketball to talk about deep into March, or almost into April.
Mm-hmm. Then the Rick Barnes stuff.
And that, yeah. But it's here. It's going to be in Nashville. Dave, you're going to part of it, right? Over the weekend?
I'll be there on Friday.
Nice.
Leave after the show.
Nice. A lot of people say Friday's better to go Friday.
Well,
than
now
Thursday.
That they've separated it, I'd say yeah. Probably. Because it's just first round only tomorrow, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And
I like it. I like that they did it that way.
Second, third on Friday.
And then fourth through seventh, Saturday.
Saturday.
What's like the biggest storyline? Is it still Kyler Murray?
I think everybody's got him pegged as going number one overall. So I guess there is the idea of what happens with Josh Rosen. Because if you remember, the cards went high on a quarterback last year. And
yes, Josh
but obviously
Rosen.
With the coaching changes, bringing in Kingsbury. If you're the Cardinals, like I mean, that's the only team I could really see wanting to go for Kyler Murray in the first round.
In the first round?
No. Come on. Like, if he's there, the Giants will probably take him, too.
Walter Football's mock draft has Kyler Murray going number one to the Cardinals, but the other options, the write-up is there's only really two options. The Cardinals take Kyler Murray and then trade Josh Rosen, or they trade this pick, the number one overall pick, probably to the Raiders.
Now that...
And they'll choose Kyler Murray.
That would be something. That I have not heard. I have heard the Giants will take him if he's there, but I am stunned that... What?
Either way, Murray will be the top choice in the wake of his positive measurements at the Combine. I'm going to lean toward the Cardinals taking him in the wake of Cliff Kingsbury, telling everyone at the Combine that his team picking Murray is a done deal. This could be a smokescreen. And if so, I think it'll work because the Raiders love Murray and would love to obtain him.
That has to be a lie.
Well, we don't know what to believe out of Oakland right now.
Murray has vaulted in the top spot of the draft because of his positive measurement at the combine. Because Murray was listed at 5'10" at Oklahoma, it seemed like there was a legitimate chance he would be something like 5'8", but 5'10" and 1/8" is a big deal.
I do not believe it. This is a smokescreen. There's no way the Raiders actually want Kyler Murray. Everything coming out of the combine was that measurables were good. He throws it well, but he was horrible on the whiteboard. He was horrible when he had to talk about offense and defense in the game of, you know, football. That does not sound like a John Gruden quarterback. Am I insane? Why would you not try to trade for Josh Rosen if you're the Raiders?
Get the California guy back
at least for a year, then take him to Vegas.
It's possible he was good on the whiteboard, and whoever said that is just completely throwing the opposite shade at it, hoping that he doesn't get picked.
Maybe, but that came from a lot of different anonymous scouts.
Exactly.
Well, they're anonymous if it's good news or bad news. Besides, like, he's one of the top picks. Like, you're not gonna dupe him into falling to 15.
How about this? Yesterday, Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury claimed the team had not made up its mind at number one overall.
Well,
we're still working through things. Kingsbury,
and that's fine.
Claimed. It's a process.
That's smart.
I wouldn't say the hay is in the barn.
When you look at the Cardinals, they are more than just a quarterback away from being good. And
yeah, but I mean, it is quarterback.
I understand that makes it. But
and Kingsbury has said, like, if it's Kyler Murray, I'm building the offense for him. So, like, all the whiteboard stuff doesn't even really matter if it's Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona.
Well, what I wanted to say is the Raiders have the 4th, the 24th, and the 27th overall pick. So if you want to stock up on some first-round picks, we know how much that first overall selection can be worth.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think the Raiders are floating that they're in love with Kyler Murray so that they can work out a deal where Arizona gets all those picks and then maybe the Raiders, like, reverse trade for Kyler Murray in the 4th spot. Like, this is just too weird. Who's 2 and 3?
The 49ers are 2nd and the Jets are 3rd.
They've got their quarterbacks. So Mike Mayock gonna have to get on it. He's gonna have to get on the horse and make a few phone calls. But I think if you're Arizona, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, it's a yes or no question. Do you want Kyler Murray? Do you think he is the quarterback of the future? And if not, you absolutely should try to get just as many picks as you can. Like, hey, Oakland, let's make a deal. And if you're Oakland, I don't know, Josh Rosen might work. He's a super smart guy. I mean, that was the knock on Josh Rosen last year, was he's too smart. He's too involved in stuff. He cares about too much stuff. That seems like a John Gruden kind of guy if you could kind of, you know, point the focus towards football. Plus, he's a California guy, so you get him a little closer to home. I mean, what is it? What's L.A. to Vegas? Like 3.5 hours? It's home. Nothing. It's a quick plane ride or a nice drive through the desert. I'm sure Josh Rosen has done it many times. The Kyler Murray story, if there was ever going to be a situation where you felt really good about a quarterback, Kyler Murray's style, man, going and playing for Cliff Kingsbury, where he's basically saying, I am going to completely build this offense for you.
It's a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, if the worry is the whiteboard stuff, it's like, well, we're not even really worried about that because I'm going to build this offense and grow it as Kyler Murray improves. There's not going to be any vernacular issues. Like, it's going to be what Kyler Murray knows, what he's good at, what he's comfortable with, and then as he gets better, the offense will get better. But I agree with you, they are way more than a quarterback away. So you might have a great system in place, theoretically, but if you don't have the players to execute it, Kyler Murray could end up snapped in half because he is a whittle guy.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure what the idea behind how the Cardinals brass feel about Josh Rosen.
I mean, Kingsbury is saying all the right things. He said that he's been at like every optional, you know, involuntary, or he's been at every voluntary workout, and that he's, you know, shown he's fully invested, whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. That's I mean, if you draft Kyler Murray, and I just pulled up Daniel Jeremiah's NFL mock draft or mock draft for NFL.com, I mean, he has Kyler Murray going number one as well. He says, I'm not as confident as I once was that Murray will be the pick because he's taken because of all the team visits Murray is taking, but I still think he ends up being Arizona's selection. So apparently a lot of teams are still wanting to meet with Kyler Murray.
Well, I think he's still wanting to meet with a lot of teams.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like,
sure.
If he knows he's going to Arizona, he's probably not taking the visits.
Well, and like you mentioned, that if the next picks are teams that already have quarterbacks, that really puts a lot of – it's not necessary. I mean, he could fall. He could tumble a little bit in the draft because we've seen that happen with some quarterbacks before. But more than likely, it's if something changes and he just falls one or two rungs, all of a sudden now three or four teams might be in the running trying to trade up. And if he's impressed if he's impressed some of them in his visits, then they might be willing to trade up even higher. And that gets him more money the higher he goes. So if he doesn't go at one, it's like, okay, is somebody trading to two? And if he doesn't go at two, does somebody trade to three?
And that's the thing, too.
That's why Oakland's saying they love him. So that more people, if he does not go one, are interested in trading with Oakland for four.
I'm trying to think of teams that actually have the capital to move up that need a quarterback. And outside of Oakland and
have they not said, though,
that
they're going to stick with Carr for one more year for sure? Has that not been kind of a done deal?
Gosh, I see. Like, it's there's just so
much
uncertainty.
But they've at least said that, though, right? Hasn't John Gruden and Oakland like kind of said we're going to go Derek Carr? We're going to give him one more shot, basically.
I think
we got a bunch of talent around him now.
We have faith in Derek Carr, but I don't know if they've actually gave a stamp of approval that he's for sure going to be their quarterback moving forward.
I'm saying this, but this year, it seems like this year is put up or shut up time for Derek Carr. It's like, we went and got you Antonio Brown. Let's see it. And if you can't, see ya.
Well, I don't know what they said. Okay. I've pulled up everything said about Carr in the last few months, couple months. Raiders coach John Gruden said Derek Carr is, quote, our franchise quarterback. Let me make that clear.
Let me be clear.
The coach added,
I rise to congratulate
echoing
Derek
sentiments
Carr.
Of new general manager Mike Mayock, who also called Carr a, quote, franchise quarterback. This was back in late February.
Well, he is a quarterback for a franchise, so I guess that's right.
But then earlier this month, as the draft gets closer, Raiders GM Mike Mayock admitted the team could select a quarterback in the first round of the draft.
That feels like posturing. Feels like Mayock's trying to get some interest, a brewing for trades.
Mayock said that it must be approached like any other position and that the team has to do its due diligence. If we found somebody we liked better or thought had bigger upside, you've got to do the right thing for the organization.
Where is Kyler Murray in last year's draft class or the year before that?
I mean, he's really, really good. Wait.
I'm just asking a question.
Baker was last year, right? Number one?
Yeah.
Kyler's number one. It's like similar players.
Does he go ahead of Baker Mayfield last year?
Debatable. I mean, to me, they're the same.
Does he go ahead of Darnold?
They're exactly the same style.
Does he go ahead of Allen?
No, it just depends on who's picking. I mean, because last year Baker could have gone third or fifth or whatever.
Okay, well, based on who was picking and when, does Cleveland take Kyler Murray over Baker Mayfield last year? I don't think so. Okay. The other teams run Prost. That's the thing. Fit matters, and that's why Arizona at one is so convenient for Kyler Murray this year.
Yeah,
coming out.
What's funny is if this Cleveland offense really does do stuff this year, and then Kyler Murray under Cliff Kingsbury has, it doesn't even really matter if the team has success. If that offense has success, Mike Leach from a no blue blood pedigree at all from college football will have impacted the entire sport.
Yes,
as much on offense as maybe
anyone
coach
ever
in the last 30 years.
Who is the guy that started the 3-4? like that's what you're looking at. Who invented the shotgun? Like that's where we're at with Mike Leach if this thing just spreads like a virus throughout the NFL. And it's like Cleveland's kind of the test product. And if Kyler Murray goes to Arizona,
he got another one.
That's patient two. Then it's an outbreak. And then in 20 years, someone will come out and run Power Eye, and everyone will be so confused.
Wishbone to make a comeback.
I mean, you mentioned Cleveland, and they traded with the Giants to receive Odell Beckham Jr., so the Giants have the 6th and the 17th pick. So We know Eli Manning, I don't know how many more years they're going to try to ride that wave. But a lot of people have them going quarterback. Could they have interest in trying to get rid of those picks, maybe a couple more to go up to number one? Because really, I mean, Tampa Bay is at five.
They're going to wait to see what Arizona does, would be my guess. I mean, if Arizona's taking Kyler Murray, who's number two on all the mocks now at quarterback?
Well, the Giants.
Haskins.
At what's their first pick? Six? I've seen your boy, your Duke kid.
Daniel Jones. If he goes in the first round, it might be 15 to Washington or 32nd to the Patriots.
I'm just saying. I'm staring at a mock draft right now where he goes six to the Giants. So. Or maybe even 17th.
I read something yesterday that said the Giants are falling in love with Dwayne Haskins.
Well, there you go.
So if he's there at six, they. But remember, as Stephen A. said, he's more of a runner.
Right.
So right. I don't know. Maybe the Giants are looking to change their philosophy. Go running quarterback. Dwayne Haskins.
What does Pat Shurmur like to do? He's the Giants coach.
Trade talented receivers and keep old quarterbacks.
That's Gettleman.
He didn't stop it. Did you see Odell tweeted yesterday? He's like never been this happy.
He took some shots at the Giants organization.
Said nothing can bring me down. Say whatever you want. I've never been this happy with a team. Maybe he just needed to get away from the distractions of New York. Now he's in Cleveland.
It's Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jones, sixth to the Giants.
Wow.
He just says that they want a quarterback. Makes more sense for them to just take the one they want at six. Like, why wait? Why wait to 17 and just hope the right one kind of gets to you? So you might be reaching, but at least
I'd try to trade down then if that's the case.
You get the guy that you just definitely want. And, I mean, that's kind of what Cleveland did last year. They just took the guy they had to have. They ended up taking a corner with their second pick that a lot of people weren't expecting. He's been great, too. So that worked out.
Yeah, because the discussion last year was, do you take Saquon Barkley one and then take the best quarterback available at four? And they said, nope, we really like Baker. We're going to take Baker and then see what happens. And I think if Saquon Barkley had been there, they would have taken him. But obviously the Giants scooped him up. They had the second pick, I think, right?
Yeah.
Were the Giants at two last year?
Yes. No.
All right. Okay.
I thought so. I thought the Giants were at two, Jets at three.
Okay.
And then four was Browns again. But Cleveland said, that's the quarterback we want. We're going to go ahead and get him first. We realize that's going to probably take us out of the Saquon Barkley sweepstakes, but quarterback's the most important position on the field.
Final segment, hour number one, right back at you here. Stick with us. It's Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one of Wednesday edition of Three and Out. You guys were talking about Dwayne Haskins last segment. Daniel Jeremiah mocks him to the Bengals at 11. New coach and a new era at quarterback. Haskins would create a spark in an organization that desperately needs one, he says.
Makes sense.
Bengals' new coach.
Keep the Ohio kid home.
Zach Taylor. He came over from the Rams. He was their quarterback's coach. So quarterback coach, get quarterback of the future. Andy Dalton. Yeah. Fun while that lasted, I guess.
He had his moments. He had his moments. What are the Titans going to do, Davey?
It's a great question.
Tight end? Got to have him.
I doubt they'll go tight end first round. No, I mean, there's a lot of
mocks.
Surely
to God, they're not going to get a tight end.
There are a lot of mocks that have either Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson, both Iowa tight ends, to the Titans at 19.
No.
I think TJ Hockenson will probably go top 10. I don't see the Titans doing the tight end approach. They might get one later on. Delanie Walker's coming off injury, and I believe he's going to be 35 once the season starts. So might need to be looking at a possible replacement. It's either, in my opinion, going to be a defensive lineman. And it's like I've seen so many mock drafts, basically just someone from the Clemson defensive line, either Lawrence, Farrell, who else is out there?
Well, people have said this is one of the best defensive line drafts in a long
Christian
time.
Wilkins is the other one. Yep. That's it. That's who Jeremiah has the defensive tackle from Clemson.
And
says he'll compliment Jarrell Casey perfectly on
the
inside. He would.
If you've seen any of the pro day stuff, like Mike Vrabel is hands-on whenever he goes there, and he'll run through drills with the linemen. I saw a report they could go for interior offensive lineman. I believe it's Chris Lindstrom from Boston College, who plays guard. He could be an option. And Garrett Bradbury, center out of NC State, if they're looking to shore up the interior there. There's a chance it's a receiver. I don't think it will be. But, I mean, those are your main position needs. Interior defensive line, interior offensive line. Then I would say wide receiver followed by tight end.
You know, the other quarterback hanging around the first round, depending on what people do, there was...
Baby Hanlock?
Yep. Saw one mock had him going to the Packers. Thought that was pretty, I don't know, a little odd.
Do we have any theatrics tomorrow, like the Laramie Tunzel type issue?
I mean, I don't know how you could predict something that crazy, but if you mean like...
There's going to be stuff tonight and tomorrow.
There's been a lot more trades.
Stuff will leak. Yeah, like trade stuff will happen. Somebody will have some tweets dug up from 12 years ago when he was, you know, 8 or something.
When he was born.
Yeah,
what point are we gonna-
yeah, like that'll happen because people always want to steal the spotlight on draft night from the NFL and, you know, paint the picture of how bad these guys are. So they're going to go dig up somebody's Twitter from middle school or Facebook post or God knows what. And they're going to try to vilify somebody tomorrow or tonight. Yeah, that's going to happen. That's why all the who was it? Was it Bosa that his agent made him wipe everything on Twitter from like a year ago backwards?
Because he might go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Couldn't be pro-Trump.
Yeah, couldn't be pro-Trump in San Francisco. That's right. That's what it was. Said just delete all of it, man. We don't want that smoke. Even want it.
It looks like he will go number 2 overall. Most mock drafts have him.
Yeah,
penciled in
to the 49ers.
That's why we're saying San Francisco.
I know, but I was just giving like there seems to be more consensus about him at 2 than I've seen for Kyler at 1. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
Well,
like
it's because Arizona they want a quarterback, or they're going to trade out of it. It would be kind of funny if the 49ers get leapfrogged by somebody who wants Bosa, and then they're just like, oh darn, oh damn,
what do we do now?
Couldn't tell you.
Take Kyler Murray, play him at running back.
It's my Tyler Bird theory.
The CBS Sports mock draft has the Broncos trading back into the first round to the final pick to select Drew Lock. John Elway has been awful at
quarterback.
I really don't care anymore now that, you know, Peyton went there, did his thing.
Oh yeah, you were a Broncos fan.
Yeah.
You're a big Broncos guy.
I was a Peyton guy. That was like my childhood. I was a Colts fan, kinda. I was pulled for the Colts and the Titans. Then he went to when he took the year off. I said, okay, I have the Titans. Now I'm going to pick my other team. It just so happened that I picked the Broncos, and that's where he ended up.
I mean, I was kind of the same way growing up. I Titans fan, and then I'd always want Peyton to do well. It's kind of difficult since they're division rivals.
A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people hate that. But the Titans weren't very good during all those years when Peyton was in the playoffs.
So you're
to get to a Super Bowl.
An admitted front runner. Is that what that's what you're saying?
No, No. The Colts stunk when he first got there. I mean, they were awful. He was awful. No one's going to break that interception record. But I did see him throw his first touchdown in a Denver uniform. I was at the preseason game. So I felt like I kind of earned my fanhood with Peyton.
When he was out there, I always liked it because you'd have the Titans play at 1 and then Denver would
always
come on at 4.
It did always make like fantasy football watching and real football watching very, very fun. It was a nice split having him on the later games. Plus, you got to see a lot of them here. A lot of them got aired. A little regional tie.
Yeah. Well, in weird NFL news, the Chiefs signed defensive end Frank Clark to a 5-year $105.5 million contract. Apparently the Chiefs are switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. That's why they traded D Ford, cut Justin Houston, and now I've added a guy that probably most people have never heard of. Or have, signed him to a $63.5 million guaranteed contract. Over $100 million.
Wow.
They traded their first-round pick To get him.
To get him, yeah.
And I think their second round pick this year.
Well, I mean, if you're the Chiefs, you feel pretty good on offense for the next few years, man. Like, just have a defense worth any kind of damn, and you're going to be just fine.
Have we talked, and I know we're getting close to a break, but have we talked about Tyreek Hill and what he kind of has going on right now?
You know we have not talked about that.
No, we haven't.
I didn't know if it was just mentioned or not. Well, Tyreek Hill's under investigation.
I forget he doesn't listen to the show.
Right. It's all, you have to.
Well, we haven't talked about it. It'd been a while, but he's under investigation for domestic abuse. And
again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it turns out the case, he's probably going to be suspended by the NFL, and the Chiefs are going to more than likely release him.
Chiefs kinda, they're losing all their playmakers.
To domestic stuff. Well, Hunt's wasn't technically domestic, but this one would be.
How long
Redskins scooped up Hunt, right? Four?
No, is it
Browns. The Browns.
That's right. The Browns got it.
The Browns have everyone. If you're not sure.
Four games, I think. It might be eight, but I want to say four because it was the go-to, but it might actually be more.
I think it's half the season.
I think that's right because I think I remember some people saying this is actually going to help the Browns because he'll be fresh come playoff time or push for the playoff time.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. It's like, thanks for the suspension. You're actually making sure we don't overwork our running backs.
We'll come back and kick off hour number two of the program. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.